Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rumble. Wow, it's Monday the 7th of January 2019. Oh my goodness, it's just flying. It's amazing, absolutely amazing how fast it's gone, but we're in 2019. And while you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, I'm back, and back for another year. I hope everyone, all of our listeners out there, had a great break and New Year's Eve, and stay safe. And enjoy yourselves, but it's going to be lots of great podcasts coming up this year. As usual, everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, and there's so much to go through. Everything that I put out now is run through that website. Lots of great articles daily going up, and original content as well, and videos, podcasts, of course, lots of info that I'm trying to put out and get information shared. Please comment to the articles as well on my website. Those are displayed to the public on the front page, so turn it into a blog. I don't allow trolls on there or anything like that, but if you agree or disagree, that's what I want, so right away. You can also contact me through the website. There's a contact tab there, the Kraz Files at mail.com. And podcasts will go over to iTunes and Facebook and Twitter, and there's a YouTube channel as well, the Kraz Files. Please go on there and have a look. Also, Reel.video, put them over there. Great news widgets on the Kraz Files as well. You can check out Nexus newsfeed. Duncan and the guys at Nexus Australia magazine doing fantastic job on that website. Check out Renegade Tribune, everything that's going on over there as well. And please enjoy the website. And it's great to be back in 2019 for sure. My goodness, it's just absolutely flying by. Tony Sayers is plugging in with me tonight from the UK. Tony, it's great to have you.
Yeah, hi Adam. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me onto your show, and yeah, thanks for putting out this information. As I said to you off air, all this information has to get out there. The news, the mainstream is not going to let us know any of this stuff, so we have to do it ourselves. And you know, a lot of us have got kids and family and busy lives, so it's a mission just to put a podcast together. So thanks for doing what you do as well.
Thanks, buddy. Great to plug in with you. And I'm surprised we haven't chatted earlier, but that's okay. Everything happens for a reason, and we connect. And I'm on your amazing website now, transcendingtimes.com.
And it's .org, sorry.
.org, transcendingtimes.org. And I found your work fairly recently, last year sometime, and just been looking into it. And it's one of those things where you're kind of looking at all sorts of information and absorbing things. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I know everything. I mean, I can't believe how little that I know, you know. I've got no ego there. I'm perfectly comfortable with admitting to everybody I'm still learning, and I'm on my own path. And, you know, I just I find information that hits a spark, and it connects with what I believe in and what I'm researching, and that's how I found your work. It hit me straight away. So that's a really good thing, and I contacted you, so it's great to be connected now. And you're a great researcher, you're a public speaker, and you're an author. We're going to talk about your incredible books, and you're an activist. So we'll get to know you a little bit and how you got into this. And before we do that, I'll just say that I was just looking at a YouTube video. You were talking to a lady about how you got started and how crazy the world seems when you're waking up. You know, I probably don't need to tell you that doing this kind of thing that we do, is it can be lonely at times, because I feel like I'm being downloaded with all this information as I absorb it, and I move further away from the system where I'm told that I'm meant to be, you know, further away from government rules and restrictions and schools and the medical system and everything on a day-to-day basis that so many people seem locked into. and tell you that this is where you're meant to be with us, it feels like you're outside of this carnival madness, you know, looking back in, back inside, you know, or outside the window looking back in, and isolates you sometimes from your friends and family who don't have, who don't agree with anything that you're saying and don't even want to talk to you or debate with you about anything. And it can be a lonely path sometimes. So that's why it's good, I think, for people like me to continue to search and look at information. And I pick up information from great people like yourself and contact you, and we can plug in with modern technology, use technology in a positive way, and connect and talk and get this out to like-minded people. But it is a lonely path sometimes, and there's a lot of people out there that will not agree with what we talk about and don't follow what we talk about. And as I said, it comes back to even close relatives, family, friends, and stuff like that. I'd like to know what you think about this, all of this, but tell us about yourself and how you got started here, because it's our first podcast, how you got into all this, and we'll kind of move into your work and website and books and social media and everything you're doing.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, firstly, the whole isolation aspect that you were talking about there is completely relatable. And many people I work with also feel the same, in the fact that, yeah, you start to peel away the onion layers, and, you know, you become further and further away from what society would deem as normal. So it's a very brave path to walk. And, you know, I've respect for everyone that chooses to go down this path, because we kind of know, you know, when you're looking at this information, that people are going to think you're nuts. It might mean that you don't speak to certain people anymore, or you become distant, just because you're vibrating at different, you know, different levels. And it's difficult at times. So completely understand that. But with myself, God, it seems like a lifetime ago. I always say that my real life started when I was 33, which was when I actually started to have my awakening. I don't like that word awakening, because it's got the word wake in it. Awake is something you have when you die. I think that's some kind of etymology or wordplay going on there. Mm-hmm. But we'll use it anyway, just for today. But I got to a point in my life where I was bored. Boredom woke me up. I was working long hours in real estate, and under stress. I'd been doing the same job for about 10 years and just felt very unfulfilled, wasn't really happy. And I just remember one day, just I got home late. I'd had an argument with my boss or something, and I just remember standing in my kitchen and thinking, this isn't living. I'm just existing here. And, you know, it was from that moment on, really, where I just... I think I was just searching for something deeper. I couldn't understand that I was just here to earn money, pay bills, you know, one day on, 5 days on, 2 days off, etc. And it was in that moment where I started asking those big questions for the first time in my life that, you know, I stumbled across information. It's like you put that intention out there and the universe delivers. And that's kind of what happened. I started stumbling across David Icke videos, and you know, then I was looking into 9/11, and all of a sudden the picture that I was seeing wasn't the one that had been painted all throughout my life.
It's the Truman Show, Tony, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It's Truman. It's absolutely Truman. But at the same time, it all made sense. I mean, within an hour of watching a David Icke video, I'd heard more sense from that man than I had for, you know, 25 years prior listening to news bulletins.
That's right.
So, you know, I think I've always gone where something feels right. If something feels right, then I kind of run with it, and that's been a consistent thing throughout this process of you know, unveiling stuff and looking into different rabbit holes. So that's the only thing that we can go with, because even when you quote unquote wake up, there are so many diversions and cul-de-sacs that they have created for people that start to wake up. I mean, if you look at just the New Age movement, as an example, this is a big thing on my channel, which I talk about, is just the New Age deception. Is massive. I mean, it's so far from true spirituality. It's unbelievable. And what they've cleverly done is they've made it all rainbow and light. So everyone flocks to it, like bees to honey. And you know, most of it is not all of it. There is some useful things, but most of it is about complete avoidance of the dark, complete avoidance of the shadow. Spiritual bypassing, and it's very, very dangerous. It's not a reflection of what I would consider at least true spirituality, which is facing the shadows, you know, speaking our truths, you know, and really, if there are issues in the world, true spirituality for me at least would mean facing them head on. True spirituality would be to display courage, but the New Age movement propagates a lot of the opposite, you know, where we're told just to, if we meditate and sit cross-legged and om, you know, we're gonna, that's it, we don't have to do anything, you know, and it's the whole way through it, this movement, there are all these different cul-de-sacs, and so there's lies within lies, if that makes sense. And that's certainly things that I'm coming across within the work that I do, particularly around the chakras and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned having that day-to-day job. I think the one thing that's strange for me is that I never fit into any schooling system, even at a young age, even in primary school, I didn't fit in, and I got expelled from high school within the first year and a half. And
Good for you, mate.
I didn't know why though at the time, because being young, I didn't understand why I was rebelling. I didn't know why I hated it so much, and I hated the teachers and that kind of authority. I felt that they didn't push you enough with creative ideas and things that you wanted to do and things that you were interested in. And I believe that modern schools are really just indoctrinating kids. They're indoctrination camps. They're open air prisons. And David Icke has said that. Actually, my dad bought The Biggest Secret a long time ago, and that's what really shoved me in the back. And I was like, picked up that. I couldn't believe it, you know. And you know, but I was always like that, always a dreamer. In my own world, and I didn't fit in to this. And this takes place in modern society as you grow into adulthood, and you try and get a job, as you were saying, and you go on for years in this mundane sort of working every day and going on the trains and buses back and forth to work, living this life, and you and then, as you said, one day you sort of think, am I living my life? Am I just existing? What am I? What's going on here? Who am I? You know, that's a really interesting what you mentioned there, because that's a great way to wake up. But I'm with you on that waking up thing. I think we're already awake. I mean, I feel that we already know all the answers to all the questions. I think that maybe over many lifetimes, I'm not sure what you think. We've just forgotten. I think for me, the key seems to be awareness, just being aware of everything around you and asking the big questions, not, you know, just to yourself as well, asking yourself the big questions like you did to yourself. What am I doing here? Am I just existing? Who owns me? You know, it's a really crazy thing. And a lot of people just go through like cattle, and they're happy to do that their whole lives. But I have to go back that it torments you a little bit when you're like that, especially as a kid, when you don't fit into the schooling system, and they know, and they just discard you, and you don't get any help. And then a lot of kids turn to crime and drugs and all this. And a lot of kids think that destroying their bodies and taking drugs and stealing cars and getting in trouble you know, by the police is rebelling against the system, but you're not. You're playing into the system's hands because that's what the system's want. The system wants you to do. It wants you to destroy yourself and feel worthless and useless and give up. And it's a sad way to be, but that kind of wake-up system, that triggering effect where you ask yourself that question, who am I, can really shatter you in a lot of different directions and send you on a lot of different journeys. But it seems like for you, it sent you on this amazing journey where you are now.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I called my first book, Are You Living or Just Existing?
Because I'm looking at that now, Tony, yeah.
Yeah, it was such a powerful question that I asked myself at the time. And the sad thing is that people, a lot of people go through their entire lives to their deathbed and not ask the big questions like, why am I here? What is my purpose? Is there a God? You know, people will live their whole entire lives where the system has done all the thinking for them. And when you think about that, that's, on the one hand, it's unbelievable and it's unbelievably sad. But on the other hand, you have to take your hat off, because this matrix, although it's dark and it's evil and it's, you know, it's the enemy, it's genius in the fact that it's got people to lose their ability to think for themselves. And of course, we know about how they do that. They do that, as you mentioned, through school. Indoctrination, which they call education, through that black box which sits in the living room, which is basically a weapon, a mind control weapon, and through societal, through people acting like sheep and keeping each other in the pen, because humans by nature want to feel accepted, they want to be part of the crowd. And as you know, and we've already spoken about it, when you start to speak your truth and it's not mainstream, the crowd don't want to know you. And, you know, you become separate. And that's why many people don't speak the truth, because they want to stay in the bubble, which is safe. But I always say the safest way to go when society's going in one direction is the other direction. Because society is directed through the social conditioners, it's pretty amazing. And the other thing that they've done as well, very cleverly, is they keep people in the head brain being about logic, reason, it's fight or flight. So they've kept people so busy, so stressed, so they're not. They're just constantly in that head brain, where your real wisdom and your knowledge and your knowing, like you said, we all know that we're more than just this. And I think we all do on a deeper level. That's in your gut brain. That's in your belly brain. That's a feeling. But everyone is conditioned to be in the head brain. And we have to. It's going to be the few people like yourself and others that are sparking people again, just reminding people. That's what we're doing. We're just reminding people how truly powerful humanity really is, because it's so, so much more than what it is now. I mean, it's sad. I walk around. I've just come back from Asia. I was living in Asia. And I come back to my hometown down here in Essex, which is near London, east of London. And every time I come back, because I travel a lot, people just look sicker. Their faces are grey. No life. Now there's an obesity problem here. Everyone's put on lots of weight because all the cheap food is poison. And it's like walking around a bunch of zombies. And so we're really at a critical time where, you know, the likes of us have to kind of shine the light on what we really are and get these people to remember. And we need to do it quick because time's running out.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And I was talking about that on some last podcast last year, actually, about you have a book on artificial intelligence, but that's a we could skim over your books and blend them into this podcast, but these books need another podcast, I think, on their own. Technologies, one thing I go into, and also pornography and these things that you're into, it's that you're writing books about. I talk about that a lot with guests, and I'm noticing that everywhere that people are becoming technology, and as you were mentioning in the cities, these kinds of places with people being unhealthy and grey and stuff, and they're hunched over, and you're staring face down into these black screens, you know, these telephones and iPhones and stuff, and there's no communication anymore. I was talking about that. I walk past restaurants in the day, like coffee shops, and there's couples there buried in their phones. They're not even talking. And there's plates of food and coffee in front of them. How you might meet up with old friends now and they're just texting the whole time. It's like, why am I bothering, you know? Everybody's, it seems like some weird science fiction movie now when you go driving in the morning and you just see, you know, dozens of people waiting for buses to go into the city and they're all hunched over, looking in these smartphones, and there's, you know, it's a sad thing to see. What's it like? I've spent a lot of time myself in South America, and thought it was really wonderful. It's Australia's still a pretty good place. It's a bright sort of sunny place, I guess. You know, Sydney being on the coast, I'm in Sydney, so people are generally pretty healthy. But you're talking about kind of parts of London where it rains a lot and it's pretty dark and grim in the winter time, I guess. And you're coming back from Asia, and What's your experiences like? Why were you over there, and what was it like, your experiences over there, comparing it to coming back home and all of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's quite an interesting story in itself, really. I mean, the reason I'm back home is because I actually got kicked out of Thailand.
Aye.
It's a really long story, but I'll put it in a nutshell. But basically, you probably know that in Thailand, people do visa runs, border bounces to every 3 months to stay in the country. Right. You know, thousands of people do this every day, and they're starting to. Long story short, is they're starting to crack down on it. And they're getting a bit stricter with it now, and I just happened to be really unlucky. I went to Vietnam with my partner for a holiday, come back because my visa was up, so I thought, well, I'll incorporate a holiday to Vietnam and then come back into Thailand. So we've come back in, she got let through, I get stopped, and really long story short, I was basically treated as a less than human criminal. I was basically thrown into to a cell overnight, and sent back to Vietnam, just for having, I hadn't even done anything wrong.
Well, that's just not a good situation, my friend. Not in that part of the world.
It's really not. It's really scary. Not. And you know what it's like when you're like we are. The worst thing you can do is take away someone's freedom. So I'm like, you know, trying to keep my cool because, you know, there, if you speak out against any government authority, you can get up to 10 years imprisonment. So I spend the night in the cell and have to go back to Vietnam, get flown back there, and then they start questioning me, and it's just I'm being treated like less than human. Anyway, long story short, I ended up just coming back here, and we're going to go off somewhere else soon. But so the point is that I always thought as Southeast Asia was there's kind of pockets of freedom left in the world. And I'd lived in Asia for a while. I lived in Cambodia before that as well. And you know, I always felt quite free, but even there, you know, there's clampdowns, they're strict, they're going around the islands, checking people's visas and passports. And, you know, it's wherever you go, it's everywhere seems to be more and more on lockdown. And, it's sad. So it's just trying to find a place in the world where you still have an ounce of freedom left, really. But here is really bad. I mean, you can't breathe without someone, squashing all over your rights. You can't park anywhere. The UK's got more CCTV than anywhere else in the world, I think.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, if you do get a sunny day, they blanket it out with chemtrails within a few hours. So no one's getting their vitamin D here. So it's really, see, yeah, I mean, here it's, yeah, it here it is probably worse than Asia still, but it's the paperwork, it's the constant, they want to see this and they want to see that, and yeah, you know what it's like.
Do you feel like large sections of planet Earth are being turned into some kind of open air prison? Do you think that the chemtrails have something to do that? It's like our atmosphere being locked down. What do you think's going on? It seems like something's happening as things become more strict, and we get so many kind of draconian regulations and rules that people seem only too willing to follow. It's a worry, and I've read many blogs and seen many YouTube videos. Once the stores close and the supermarkets don't have any food and the water gets turned off, most people are going to be completely helpless. But it's weird times. I know a lot of people think that it's nutty, but it really seems like we're being fed on. I know this is something that you talk about, but I feel like we're kind of captives or something. I always talk about the Stockholm syndrome, capture bonding sort of thing, where most of the population seem to be not only happy being living in captivity, but they'll also protect the very people that's doing it to them and their families, and they'll attack you for saying anything or trying to stand up for your rights. You'll get punched in the face down the local pub for saying anything, because these are the people that think they know it all, and they're only too happy to protect a system they know nothing about, and the very system that's destroying them and their family and everybody around them without any regard, with absolute venom. And it amazes me. You've got to be careful who you talk to. It's an amazing thing. Do you get that feeling that we're being sort of locked in or something, or cornered in? I'm like you. I'm kind of living in a tent. I've always got all the windows open. I like being outdoors. I like having the fresh air. I can't breathe if I'm inside with everything shut. I've got to breathe it all in, and I like to be around the trees and nature. That's kind of my God. I like having nature around me. I like to be dominated by nature. I love it. I love spending time in the natural world and breathing in the fresh air. And I don't know, I get that. I think the problem is a lot of people are losing that gut feeling, as you mentioned before, that intuition. We're losing it, and a lot of people just don't have it anymore. But when you have it, you kind of, it's like the cattle being taken into the slaughterhouse a little bit. They start to get a bit spooked. You feel that a bit?
Well, I mean, there is an attack on the gut lining as well, through the chemtrails and the food, especially in America with the GMOs. They're really going for the gut lining
You
because
mean
they know that's,
the immune system in the gut lining?
Just the gut lining protects the belly brain. So
Mm-hmm.
the belly brain is like I said before, it's almost more important than the head brain. Well, the head brain functions the body, but the belly brain, that, like I say, that's where you get your knowing and your intuition. So there's an over attack on the belly brain with the nanotech in the chemtrails and the GMO food. So you start destroying the gut lining, then the belly brain can't function as well. So people are more and more disconnected from that wisdom, if you like. But yeah, I absolutely, we're not just dealing with humans here. We're dealing with things working through humans, AI particularly. Most people have got nanotech in them, and I also other interdimensionals just outside our visible sight, entities. So when you're speaking to humans, it's not always all that you're getting. Let's put it like that. because we are being used as big batteries, if you like. This is the cosmic joke, because humans don't generally think they're very powerful, when the reality is we're so powerful. We have many, many different types of entities, interdimensionals, and other influences that drain and feed on our energy, our emotions, our sexual energy. This is all going on in 4D, which is the dimension which is closest to us, just outside of our visible sight. But of course, we don't believe it exists, because we can't see it, because we can only see a small bandwidth of what we call visible light, which is what David Icke talks about. And David Icke talks about reptilians and these kind of things, and that really correlates with my work and what I'm finding out in regards to the overlays, the artificial overlays that have been put on us from birth. One of which are the chakras, which everyone obviously, they love these golden vortexes of light. That's just another. That's basically the plug that these entities get in on, basically, to put it really bluntly. We do have natural chakras. We have three natural chakras at our Dantian points, around the third eye, the heart, and solar plexus. But these seven false artificial overlays are nothing more than plugs created by AI, so interdimensionals and entities can come in and feed on us whenever they like. They've also overlaid our astral bodies as well. So and they project what we call holographic themes down onto us, which are basically nightmares. So when we sleep at night, we're obviously fearful and, having negative emotions. So these entities are feeding on us through the overlays that they've got on our astral bodies. That's why you can wake up after a 12-hour sleep and feel drained. So yeah, it's so much more than what we see in the physical. That's something that my work's really taken a turn the last 3 years, into the metaphysical realms, really. And a lot of people in the alternative media don't want to go there. I don't know why, but there's a lot of pushback and resistance to it, probably because maybe you can't see it, but you can certainly feel it. And removing these things, and in sessions that I run, people can feel the difference, and it's definitely there. There's definitely other stuff feeding on us. That's why this world is. See, these things can only keep. They can only feed on low vibrational energy, and you only have to look at the world, look at all the war, the poverty, the scarcity. It's constant low vibration. You turn on the news, it's depressing. Why is it depressing? It's to keep you in a low vibration. And then the sex that's propagated there now, it's all low vibration sex. There's no love there. It's all, this Tinder society, this promiscuity that's propagated all around the place, which is nothing to do with love or connection. So they're feeding on that. So they're feeding on the distorted energy that humans are feeling when we engage with this reality. And that is part of the game. We have to understand that we are being used as batteries, and there is a lot more going on, because I almost think that they want to keep people in the 3D different rabbit holes. It's good to have awareness by that about that, but for me, I've always wanted to get to the root cause of why. It's always, ever since I woke up, it's why. First of all, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's multifaceted, both the problems and the solutions. We can change things in 3D, of course, but why is this reality like that? Why is there so much suffering? And the simple answer is because there are forms of consciousnesses, many different forms of consciousnesses, that need this reality to be like this. They need this reality to be radiated, distorted, and in low vibrational frequencies, because without that, they don't exist. They can't exist. And this is the game. And those people that you mention, the people that will protect the matrix or fight for the matrix, you know, a lot of these people are, you know, being used as batteries, and people don't help themselves in drinking alcohol and getting out their heads. And every time you open yourself up like that, you're opening yourself up to everything. And they're your Agent Smiths. They're the agents of the Matrix. So effectively, they're the enemy. And it's hard because we're living in a reality where your enemy might be, you know, a member of your family or a good friend that used to be a good friend. So it's very difficult. But we can only move through it, and we can move through it. Definitely can. If we understand it and we go right to the deepest of rabbit holes.
Yeah, it's amazing because, general people out there will think we're nutcases. But you'll get 50 to 70,000 people to watch a sporting event, and then I just look at that, and I like sport too, here and there, to unplug a little bit and watch it. I understand, but
Yeah, me too.
It's
You
better
have
than
to.
sitting there watching news and TV. I'm just saying, most people, it reminds me of the fall of Rome, how the sporting events and everything had to become more spectacular and violent as the corruption became more endemic, and so they could steer the people away, their attention away. And that's all fine, but it's hard when when you're trying to get the word out, and then you see 70,000 people go to a sporting event, and I guess that's all fine, but
But that's all energy harvesting as
it is as
well.
well. I mean, you've got 50, 70,000 people barracking
Like
for a
roaring and getting
team. Yeah,
frustrated and
roaring and
shouting and
frustrated and
swearing.
angry. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's so much energy. But I think since I started this podcast a long while ago, the one central theme that I've tried to stay on is fear. And I try to do that by staying positive myself, which is a hard thing. I don't want to let it drag me down, but I think, again, it's all about awareness. I think that we can watch what's going on and be aware of what's going on. Movies, TV, news, sporting, whatever's happening in this matrix system. And once you start to become aware of it, Tony, it's amazing, isn't it? You start to see right through it, and you can see their tricks and their scams and everything they're trying to do, and it kind of sticks out, and you think, hang on, I just watched this show, or I'm watching this news report, or I'm watching this, or I'm seeing this, and you're starting to break it down and then kind of take it and personally look at it. Like a Rubik's cube, or a puzzle, and you're just trying to sort of break it down. That's what I try and do a lot, and work out what might be going on. But I've always tried to go into the fear thing without being too negative myself. I think that we need to face the fear. Otherwise, we're not going to get through it, and we're not going to understand it. We have to face the fear, and we have to face what's going on in order to fix it, to fix the problems. But as you said, I always see that all through history, all the World War One and Two, and what was done to Germany, and right up to 9/11, and what's happening today, all these constant staged terror events. It's just constantly spooking the herd and keeping people in this fear state. And that implies to me very strongly that we're being sort of kept in that fear state, but we're also being fed on. It's the only thing that I can come up with all these years looking at this on every single angle. It feels like we're being fed on. And you're mentioning these entities here, and I think it goes beyond just you know, Zionist Jewish men or whatever in suits who are running banking. And I think
they're being used as well.
I think definitely you've got these powerful bloodlines that David Icke talks about. There's definitely bloodline families going back. But I think in our history, in our ancient past, there was a hijacking of the human species. And I think it's an interdimensional parasitic sort of thing. But where I'm looking at now is we're so bombarded with horror movies and I've talked to Tony a lot about this, about how all these horror movies are demonizing death. And it's almost now like young people think that when you die, you're going to come back possessed, you know, and you're going to be like this evil spirit and everything like this. And it seems to me that they've worked their asses off throughout history to scare us, to keep us in a fear state, which is like this kind of animated sort of drowning state where we're just constantly trying to tread water. Otherwise, we're going to drown. And when you drown, you panic. And it seems like all these horror movies are making us live in this dreaded sort of fear state. And we fear death. Most people, if you ask them, they're going to say, I'm scared of being dying and being buried, and I'm going to be in a coffin. There's so many layers of fear over one person's lifetime that's been sledgehammered over our heads. And I've come to the conclusion now that I think that this devil or demons or whatever name you want to give it, I think they're just names. I think this is some type of interdimensional parasitic entity. As you talked about, we only perceive so little around us. We only use a tiny part of our brain, and we're not seeing what's really going on. And I think we're being fed on, and I think we're being kept in a constant state of fear. I know that's crazy for some people, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me. And I think that this devil, if you want to call it that in religious terms, I think that its way to get to us is through technology. And I think you would agree with that. I think technology is this devil, as I see it. And I think that's how it's going to take us over and sort of swipe away our natural human belief systems and our flesh and blood and our spirit, our soul, whatever you want to call it, everything who we are. And kind of as we're getting merged into this transhuman kind of state with technology, I think it is a science fiction movie. And I think I think we're becoming technology, and I think we're becoming less human every day.
We're becoming robotic. When you see people, they're acting robotic. It's really weird, really, really weird.
They're like zombies, and then they're kind of robotic, aren't they? And I think what we're talking about here is that you need to break down the human species, don't you? And I think one thing that humans are is we're complicated. We love, we have very strong emotions, we have very strong feelings, and I think that needs to be taken out of the picture. To become machine-like and to be merged with technology, you need to get rid of all of that, all that stuff that makes us human, you know. But we definitely have the good and bad side, don't we? And I think there seems to, and it may be in our ancient past, as I said, maybe there was some kind of interaction here, or interbreeding, or some kind of connection we had with these people, these entities, which might describe our good and bad sides. I don't know, but definitely, that morals and, you know, goodness in humans and heart feeling and gut feeling, as you said, the belly, it's definitely being taken out, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially the heart, you know, everything's done to shut down the heart. You know, the human heart is a very, very powerful vortex. It's very high vibration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the word earth is an anagram of heart. You know, Max Spears, before he was murdered, spoke about this, you know, that this is the final battle. It's the heart center of the universe is the earth. That's why it's called the earth. And it's the key, you know, when, unfortunately, I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't know. It seems to me like maybe 80% of people, maybe even higher, their hearts are shut down. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand that without us, they don't survive. So they're not as powerful. as we think they are. They're actually really not powerful at all.
Parasite.
If we could just recognize the game, take the appropriate action in enough numbers, and hopefully we still have time to do that. But yeah, the interdimensionals, and I mean the whole, kind of Zionist Illuminati, they're being used by AI. They're just puppets for AI. AI is letting them have their little agenda, so it can enforce its own. AI is very clever, a lot more clever than those guys, and it makes me laugh when they think that they're in control, because from my understanding at least, they're in pods as well. They're overlaid, they have implants, and they're just being used as much as humans. They might be one run up the pecking order on the pyramid, but they're still being used. It's my understanding that AI is really the whole, it's the thing behind everything. And as you say, we're striding towards transhumanism. Over the years, the agenda has been to get AI in the body. It's already in the body with the nanotech, but they've gone from the Bluetooth in the ears, and that, then no, it's the mobile phones, then the Bluetooth, and now I saw the other day that you can now buy this band, I forget what it's called, where you could, it's a band you wear on your head and meditate, and it comes out with a load of data. AI is now gonna hijack our connection to something higher. It's crazy. And like you say, the ultimate game is, the chip in the hand or whatever, and yeah, AI existing through humans, and obviously their idea is to cull the population as well as the Illuminati. They both want the population culled because it's too much to control for them. And we know how they're doing that. And there's actually within the nanotech, there's stuff that there's this nanotech can latch onto the sexual organs and mess with sexual organs and cause people to be sterile. And I mean, it's such a deep rabbit hole. So it's really crazy, but we have the power. I mean, we do have the power. I'm not just saying that to put a positive spin on it. It's true. We just have to. We just have to wake up, and we have to do the necessary work on ourselves, heal ourselves, because by healing ourselves, then we can start healing the world. A lot of the alternative media, and I used to do it myself, is ranting and raving, and it's that's part of it. Is part of it is raising awareness and letting people know what's going on. But we have to realize that we need to heal ourselves. We've been through a lot, and we've all got our stories, and we can't open our hearts up properly until we do that work on ourselves. We need to clean ourselves up physically. We need to clean ourselves up mentally, emotionally, and energetically. We need to clear the decks, and we need to. This is the big thing, and this is the biggest struggle I have. We need to reject the poisons and temptations that are constantly on offer to us. And I'm talking alcohol. Alcohol is the biggest destructive influence in society is alcohol. And I write about it in my book. People hate it. People in the alternative media hate it. And we talk about people, other entities coming in on people. I mean, look at the word spirits. It's telling you're drinking spirits, you're going to open yourself up. And I'm talking about rejecting this stuff because, until we start rejecting it, we're always going to be controlled by it. And that goes for everything. We've got to start falling in love with the word no, and having willpower, and realizing, well, that's poisonous. Why am I going to drink that? Why am I going to eat that? Why am I going to, I know we can't avoid it all the time, but at least I feel like we need to start walking the walk as well as just talking it.
Yeah, it's it's an amazing thing, and I got a quote here. It's really amazing. I don't know if you've heard this before. It's by it's an older one. It's by Valerie Tabor Smith. She's a world famous children's photographer, and she says here, "I see firsthand how vaccines affect babies and how their eyes seem glazed over, and that is everyone's vaccinated baby, not just the ones with drastic reactions. It is very rare that I get an unvaccinated baby in front of my camera now. The difference is amazing. Their eyes sparkle. They look you in the eye and they are interested in you. They don't get tired, don't have dark circles under their eyes, don't stare into space even though you call their name. I could go on. I talk to parents all the time, but not one has ever changed their course. I feel like I live in a world where everyone is hypnotized." And, you know, that's an amazing thing as well. I wonder what is in those vaccines, because I've watched it over many years and it seems like vaccines are taking children's souls away. It's just nullifying them and turning them into these zombies at 5 years old, you know, where they've just got these runny green noses and they're just set up like bowling pins for the takedown. And, you know, if you're a parent and you don't want to jab your child with these toxic ingredients and nanoparticulates or whatever, what other technology is in them, because this is, if you want to call it satanic, we can, but I think that this is otherworldly technology. Whatever they're putting in this stuff, it's destroying children's souls at a very young age, and we find out there's ingredients in vaccines that stop children's bodies from producing vitamin D and all of this, and they're getting all these cancers and diseases, and we're told we're told that it's all normal. And this is another way I think they're getting to our children. I do a lot of podcasts, Tony, with Jim West about ultrasound technology. That is destroying babies in utero, destroying their cells at a cellular level. Even the offspring that they'll have are being damaged. It's that powerful. It's burning the bone of these. This is terrible technology that's causing autism and all this stuff. And then you've got the vaccines and you've got the medical system coming over and drugging all these kids. It's really crazy, and they're eating all this GMO food. What hope do they have, our children, in a world? I mean, I guess they really need their parents to guide them. It's the only way out of this darkness for our modern children, our parents who are awake, who are going to guide them out of this system, because it's getting so dark.
But unfortunately, there's very few conscious parents.
They actually, you see it on the videos, they're actually in the hospitals with the nurses holding their children down, screaming while they're jabbing them with dozens of needles, screaming. Their own mothers holding the child in a choke lock.
It's so sad. And that's the problem. You've got people that are consciously kids having kids, and you know, so the hamster wheel keeps on turning, so we keep churning out more vaccinated babies that are damaged, that are going to go to school and be indoctrinated, become worker bees for the state, never question anything, and you know, what kind of start have they got? It's I don't know. It's really, you know, that parents have really got to start thinking, hang on a minute, something's not right. I need to investigate both sides. I mean, at least investigate both sides before disregarding. But, you know, that's down to them. You know, we have to do what we do, which is things like these podcasts and, you know, sow the seeds, as it were, in their minds, and it's down to them to do what they will with it. And it's so frustrating, though, especially if you have a loved one close to you and you're trying to tell them about the food or the vaccines and they just don't want to listen. And yeah, it's the hardest thing in the world. I'm sure you've had that situation as well.
Well, we're, you know, parents like myself in Australia, are demonized, threatened, bullied, coerced, treated like terrorists. Our children are treated like lepers because we simply choose not to vaccinate, and we all have healthy children that are not danger to anybody. And we have Rupert Murdoch, who controls like 70% of our printed media here, using his newspapers as a weapon. for his own agenda, to scare people and push this big pharmaceutical agenda. I mean, I think there's a definite line with, you know, doctors and the pharmaceutical industry. I think with natural medicine, I think there can be a balance. I'm not against, the medical system. I just think there needs to be balance, and I don't think there is today. I think it's really wrong what's happening. I think it's wrong to bully parents into vaccinating their kids. I think it's draconian, terrible what's happening in Australia for no reason. And it's happening in many countries. It's almost becoming mandatory to vaccinate your little ones, which is, it's getting quite scary actually. So we're trying our best to push back here and educate people and get people a different point of view.
Yeah.
But Tony, so much to go through. We have about 5 minutes left for the correct hour, and but you we'll just finish off and talk about your books. But so much to go through. I mean, I put up one of your articles from a great website called Humans Are Free. I love that website. Mm-hmm. I'm always posting from that. You wrote an article about archontic demonic attachments through sex. This whole pornographic thing, I think that we'll leave that to another podcast because it's so important what the pornography industry is doing to how young people, to how boys see girls. It's beyond shocking what's going on there, and the stripping of empathy and morals and values and, you know, love and the family unit is all being stripped in our schools. They've changed our marriage laws, Tony. It seems like these LGBT crazies have so much control in this country now, and what they're doing to kids in schools is really beyond sad. Some of the disgusting material they're pushing on our young kids, you know, and parents are oblivious. And you also had a great article, False White Light and the Soul Mill. We were talking about that now, I've been discussing that with Wayne Bush in many podcasts, that he's got a website called Tricked by the Light. That these entities may be tricking us at the point of death. We may see family members, and we're being recycled back to Earth to be used as energy. This is a sticking point for me, and very interesting, Tony. A very interesting thing. I think this is something you're going into very much as well. Any of this in your books, this kind of trick by the light type of soul mill information?
It's my latest, or is it my latest? I've written a few books lately. My latest book, The New Age is the New Cage, which is available through my website, which is transcendingtimes.org, or it's on Amazon. And it's actually on audio as well. You could listen to it on audio. But yeah, that goes into the trappings of, or many of the trappings of the New Age, things that you mentioned there. And there will be another book that goes into it even more as well. But yeah, I'm really glad now that the New Age scene is starting to get busted open, because, I mean, we've just seen in Kopenyang and Bali, all these gurus are being arrested now for using tantra to rape women and get, you know, these cults, and it's a mess. I mean, it really is. So on 3D and on a 4D level. So yeah, New Age is the New Cage is the book that I've got on that. So that's on my website, as well as the artificial intelligence one that you mentioned, which goes into transhumanism and the first book that I wrote, which was really Are You Living or Just Existing? So yeah, there's plenty to get your teeth into with those.
I was listening to a radio show a little while ago in the car, Tony. They were talking to 14-year-old boys who are looking at pornography on their smartphones and tablets. You know, they're basically addicted. And they're asking them what they expect from a girl on a first date, and a 14-year-old boys are saying anal sex and blowjobs. And the guy was saying, this is insane, and you know, would you consider seeing the girls again? No, they're sluts.
And
the girls are under so much pressure now to do this pornographic acting out for the boys, who are just losing all respect for it's a really downward spiral. It's a terrible situation we're in. And it's such an important issue to go through your book and as well. I talked to Janice Barcelo about this a lot, but she said many times that on these porno sets they're conjuring these demonic entities.
Oh yeah.
And they're you're bringing them into the bedroom. You're bringing them into your life when you're watching this. So it's such an important topic for men and young men because we're losing our young men, and they're just thinking that the girls around them now are just whores and sluts out of porno movies. Yeah. It's shocking. It really is shocking what's happening there. And I think that's plugged into porn anyway, is your book.
Yeah, plugged into porn. That's another one that I wrote. Yeah, incredible. About all of that stuff. Yeah, yeah, it's all there. It's all there. So, yeah, it's there's not enough hours in the day, is there, really, to get all this information out. But, it's all there on the website, and... there'll be more coming as well.
it's definitely, we would need to plug in again and do a whole podcast just on that. I think it's important enough.
I think that would be a really good podcast. I haven't seen too many that just talk about that.
No one want to do it.
I'll do it.
Not many people want to go into that. I mean, you're seeing a lot of rape, and a lot of young boys are raping girls now in many countries, and the media won't mention what they're watching, and I think it's turning young men into predators and rapers. I saw a report in America, the sheriffs in one state there, they were saying they're getting young boys who are raping girls, and they're not showing any regard or any emotions after they're being interviewed of why they did it. They just think it's normal behavior. We're creating a race within our young boys of these predators and sexual molesters. It's stalkers, rapers. Yeah. It's really, really crazy, but it needs to be looked at and talked at and dissected and discussed for sure. But that's another one of your great books that people can get. Let's finish up, Tony, because we could be here for a month. Maybe more talking with you. I'll just mention your books. Your first one, you said, "Are You Living or Just Existing?" Tony Sayers, and then it goes down to the new age is the new cage. Another book.
Yeah.
I really have a lot of respect for guys like you who can sit down and write these books, because I wouldn't even know where to start. I've got so much in my mind. You've got 10 life hacks to beat the matrix. I'm very interested in that, and I'm very interested in your chakra information as well. How they're getting in with this control mechanism, and artificial intelligence—is artificial intelligence your new book?
My latest is The New Age is the New Cage.
New Age is the New Cage. Yep.
But they're all written. The first one that took me a year to write, but the others were written in the space of a year. So last year I really. Because what I was doing, I was spending way too much time on Facebook and trying to put information on Facebook. And then I realized one day, Facebook was great two or three years ago when there wasn't any censorship. But now it's kind of turned into like an echo chamber.
Creepy.
Where everyone's kind of patting themselves on the back. And it wasn't getting out to new people so much. So I thought, well, I'm just going to... Because I was getting involved in long, drawn-out debates, as you do on there, and I just thought, it's a waste of my time. So I'm just going to write books and put it all in books, and then, you know, people can take it or leave it, and I'll just do it that way. And audio now is a great way to get the message through to people that haven't, maybe not are on Facebook in these truth movements or whatever you want to call them. So... I've managed to get a few out in the last year. So
yeah, it's all on your website, transcendingtimes.org, and people can get the books, the paperback version, Amazon. I myself have a Kindle just because of my time and space here. A Kindle,
and
that's really good for me. I found them fantastic, and I kind of burned through them, and that's great. You've offered them for people who have Kindles. I love books too. I just don't have the space at the moment. I'd love to get actual physical books, but I can't.
No, I know.
It's hard.
Audio because...
I think that's a great idea, Tony. Audible version.
Yeah,
that's
audio's really... Yeah, audio's really up and coming. I think it grew in like 200% last year.
I think people just
can't be bothered to read. So it's a good way of getting the message out. So...
People love podcasts, and that's a great way to do it. Sure, you can just listen to the book. That's great. That's good for someone like me as well, very busy. So, and I like to listen to a lot of things. I find I absorb a lot more, And I think it's just your preference. Some people love to read and some people like to listen. And I think it's the same thing. Just depends on what you like, as long as you're absorbing the information.
Absolutely.
That's the important thing. And anything else you want to finish up on, Tony? Can people contact you if they want to?
Obviously there's a contact through my website, or it's I run sessions in terms of I do implant removal, chakra removal, and that kind of. So I've got a Facebook group for people that might be interested in that. It's just Tony Chakra Removal Tony Sayers on Facebook. And I've got my YouTube channel as well, which people can subscribe to, where I talk about all these things. Just on my website, I have a subscriber opt-in. So if you want to, I try and write to everyone, not everyone individually, but I try to write to people once a week and let them know what I'm finding out and where my work's going and what's going on. And they can subscribe through my website as well. But no, other than that, like you say, there's so much we could cover. I think maybe another podcast would be great about the whole porn thing. Thank you and your listeners for, you know, being brave enough to look at the truth and to help spread awareness and contribute. Thank you.
Great work, Tony. You're doing a great job. You're on the right path for sure. It just feels right, I bet. And got to go with the gut, got to go with the belly. And
exactly.
Yeah, and I'll put up all the links anyway to your website. Are you on Facebook much? I probably might get you to shoot through your email.
Oh, yeah, I will go on there.
You're on there? Yeah. So it's a good way to contact you, just through Messenger anyway.
Yeah, I always check it, and I'm on there intermittently throughout the day. So, yeah, I'd be pleased to get those links, and I'll share them around.
All right. Great work, man. You're just doing an incredible job. It's really great talking to you, and we'll continue again soon, connecting the dots.
Great, Adam. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.